Well, here we are, fourth Sunday of Advent. Are you afraid like I am? A lot of stuff to do now in the next week, huh? But I would say that there's a very spiritual moment in this gospel that I don't want you to miss. It's a beautiful understanding of two women who come together, and the Lord brought them together so that they could both understand more deeply what was going on in their lives. That's Mary and Elizabeth. And so I would speak to you today on this title, A Day of Disclosure. There is a kind of a revelation or an epiphany of the Lord here, which we ought to take heed and then try in our own life to apply some of the lessons of this beautiful story of two women who come together to listen to what God is doing in their life. On this day of disclosure, I would speak to you of four things. There's a rendezvous, there is a recognition or a revelation, there is a regard that's expressed, and there's a rejoicing. First of all, this rendezvous. The gospel sets out today, and it says that Mary set out and traveled to the hill country of Judah. She went there in haste, it says, and she went to the house of Zechariah and greeted her cousin Elizabeth. Why did Mary make this journey? If you just look at the surface of the gospel, sociologically, you might say that she's just going there to visit her cousin. She knows she's 6 months pregnant. Maybe she could use help, so she goes there to be of help. Okay, nothing wrong with that, but I think it's kind of a surface understanding of the text. There's something deeper going on here. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, really, at the direction of Gabriel. Now, let's back up. It's not in the gospel today, but you know the story. Mary is there in Nazareth, and the angel Gabriel comes. And he says to her, "Hail, highly favored, hail, full of grace. The Lord is with you." He goes on to say that you have no need to fear. You will conceive and bear a son, and great will be his name, and he shall rule the nations, and his power, his kingdom, shall never be taken away. And Mary has some questions that she asks Gabriel, not out of any doubt necessarily, but just trying to put all these pieces together. How can this be, she says, since I do not know man? And there's something more here than that she doesn't know the facts of life. Of course she does. People were probably more understanding of those things than we are today. But that there seems to have been some understanding that she was vowed to the life of a virgin and that Joseph would be a husband but more of a caretaker. Who knows? It's a mystery. But I will say this. Mary does wonder, how can this be? I don't know man. I don't know. So how will it be? And the angel says, well, look, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will conceive and you shall bear a son. And so the Holy One to be conceived in you will be called Son of God Most High. But that's only a partial explanation. And so Gabriel, in effect, says, he gives her as much information as he's been sent to give. But then he says this, why don't you go talk to Elizabeth? She who was called barren, who's old, who was never thought she could ever have children now, has conceived, and she's pregnant now, 6 months. So go talk to her. Many things will be revealed to you in this conversation. Now, I'm reading into the text a little, but it's more than just sort of Gabriel says, well, you know, there's something else that has taken place over here. Don't worry about it, but just know God did this. He, in a way, we know from Mary's response that Gabriel seems to be saying to her, go, talk to your older cousin Elizabeth. She's a wise woman. She suffered. Go talk to her. Many things will be revealed to you if you go. And so it says that Mary went in haste to a town of Judah. Now, the town is not named here. Today, this town is called Ein Kerem or Ein Karim. Ein Kerem or Ein Karim, depending where what accent you put on which syllable. Okay. But it's a beautiful place, by the way. If some of you have been to the Holy Land, it's just beautiful. It's like being in the Appalachian Mountains. Beautiful, rolling mountainous hills with lots of trees and just a beautiful region. And in this beautiful town would be the birthplace of John the Baptist, and it's where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived. And so Mary makes haste. He directs her to Elizabeth so that she can come to a greater understanding of what is taking place. Now, why do I emphasize this rendezvous? Well, let me ask you, in your life, do you have spiritual friends that you trust who can help you to sort out some of the things that happen in life? Do you have people that you can turn to who are wise? And they're not perfect, but you have to, St. Paul says, test everything. But generally, they're the folks you turn to when you're going through something. You're trying to figure out, what's God saying? What's he doing? Let me not lose heart. I need to come to greater faith. Do you have spiritual friends? You ought to. This is kind of a part of the normal Christian life. In today's society, though, so many people move so often, and the idea of being rooted in a community and knowing people of many generations is kind of lost to a lot of us. But I still commend it to your consideration that you ought to have in your life your version of Elizabeth, so that Gabriel or God could say to you, go talk to you know who, and they'll help you to understand. Now, in my own life, I can say I get together routinely almost every week on my day off with some brother priest, and we have lunch and we take a walk and we play cards. But the main thing is that we talk. Those guys know, we've been getting together for decades now, and they know everything about me. And they know how to say, Charlie, there you go again. You know? They know how to give me consolations and cautions. I have in my life not just those five priests, but also a couple of lay people who I'm very close with. I know how to pick up the phone and call. I've also had in my life someone that you know very well, Father, if you've been here a while, Father Monsignor Eddie Tolentino, and he's a very wise man. And in particularly difficult cases, I pick up the bat phone. And I call Father Tolentino. And he sighs, okay. But basically his message is, Charlie, everything will be just fine. Now, I think, he'll give me some good advice. So you see, I'm just speaking of myself, but in this parish, we also have women who, every morning they get on the phone around 7 a.m. and they pray together and they support each other. They talk about what's going on in their life. It's a little conference call. It's a beautiful thing. Lots of support. In this parish, too, we have a group of young adults who increasingly meet together. They grow. You know, how do you make your way into marriage, career, all those things, vocations, in the midst of a very secular world? And they support each other. They pray together, celebrate together. I hear tell that some of them went out caroling the other night. So, but you see, as I say, these are the things that all of us should have. You see, God will give us insights. God will give us gifts. But I'm going to tell you, 99% of the time, God gives those gifts or insights to us through other people or situations that we're going through. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, but most of the time, he gives these gifts through others. Now, Quentin, try to find in your life people who are trustworthy, not vain or frivolous, who perhaps have suffered I remember my own spiritual director in seminary says, when you go out of the seminary now and you become ordained a priest, I want you to look for a spiritual director and try to find a priest who has suffered. Because there's great wisdom that comes from that. And God's blessed me over the years. So again, don't miss this just simple fact that Gabriel, in a way, just dispatches Mary. Go talk to your cousin Elizabeth. She's a wise woman. She suffered much. But she's in her 6th month of pregnancy. She who was thought to be barren. Oh, really? And so Mary doesn't just go to look at a spectacle. In effect, Gabriel is saying, go to her. She's a wise woman. And in your interaction with her, God will speak to you. Now, again, I want to give this caution. 2 cautions, actually. Mary goes there not like me. Mary, as sinless, doesn't have all the neuroses that we do. But she's not omniscient either. And she's curious about how some of this will come about. And so the angel gives her some explanations, but then says, go talk to your cousin. But she's not filled with lots of neuroses like we who are sinners, but she still has that need. The second distinction I would make is that in your life and in mine, we have even very good spiritual friends, but their advice isn't always 100% perfect. You still have to go and discern before God what you hear from them. St. Paul says, test everything. Test it by the word of God. Okay. So this is not like a 100% silver bullet, but this is a very good spiritual practice to build into your life spiritual friends that you can talk about those deeper things and let God speak to you through them. All right, enough said. The first stage of this, if you will, this day of disclosure is the rendezvous of 2 women who've experienced astonishing and unexpected things in their life. And through Gabriel, God pairs them up. Now, it unfolds the following way. We come from rendezvous to a kind of a recognition. It says that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant, namely John the Baptist, in her womb danced for joy. This translation says leapt for joy, but if you really look at the Greek roots, it's danced. Danced for joy. This is no little kicking in the womb. This is major. I've never been pregnant, although I'm starting to look that way. But I will say that this is not just simply the little kicking. This is dancing. And Elizabeth is overwhelmed in a good way by it. Now, there's recognition at several levels here. First of all, John the Baptist, just 6 months along in his mother's womb, recognizes Christ in the womb of Mary, barely a month along. 2 infants in their mother's womb. John the Baptist, it is said of him, you, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. And so he would point out the Christ, but already in his mother's womb, he's pointing, look, there he is, the Messiah, the one we've longed for, he's here. And John starts to dance for joy. And Elizabeth's like, whoa. And Jesus is recognized. Now, I don't want to go into a long discourse on this next point, but to say, kind of as an aside, but a very important aside, 2 children in their mother's wombs. This is not just tissue. This is not just products of conception. This is not just fetuses. These are 2 human persons recognizing each other. The scriptures speak of life in the womb as very sacred. Jeremiah said, or God said to Jeremiah, before I ever formed you in the womb, I knew you. Which is another way of saying that any child that's in the womb, God has already known them before that moment. They're not there by accident. Number 2, Psalm 139 says that God knit us together in our mother's womb with his own hands. It says that we're wonderfully, fearfully made, skillfully wrought in that secret place of the womb. And that every one of our days was written in God's book before one of them ever came to be. in this great moral issue of abortion in our world today, have a biblical understanding of who is in the womb. And so I say that as an aside, but an important one. So the first thing is we see that John the Baptist is able to recognize the presence of the Messiah, Lord and God, in his mother's womb. And both mothers experience the disclosure then of the child that's in their womb. Elizabeth says, "My gosh, my son John, who of whom it is said," remember her husband Zechariah had always, "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before his people to prepare the way." She experiences that confirmation, that recognition. And likewise, Mary, who heard from the angel Gabriel that the son whom you bear will be called Son of God Most High, and he will rule the nations. But have you ever had a visit from an angel? Okay. I guess I haven't either. I've certainly had some surprising things in my life. But I will say that, you know, if you have this experience, you say, did that really happen? Did I really hear what I think I heard? Was it a dream? Can I trust what was heard? Gabriel just said, you go to Elizabeth, and she'll help you, and you'll help her to understand what God is doing. So now two women have come together, and there's a recognition of by the children in their womb, and then there's a recognition. What was said, Elizabeth says, said to me through my husband, is true. He's already pointing, but and the mother of my Lord is with me, and he is, and Mary hears this, and he's dancing for joy, and Elizabeth says, and she translates it, she says, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And Mary's like, what the angel said is true. So you see, this rendezvous isn't just two women coming together. It's not just some arbitrary thing. It's something that Gabriel said, you go and support each other. And you will confirm for her what I've said to her, namely Elizabeth. And Elizabeth will confirm for you what I've said to you. And together, you'll be strong and trust God. And so it is that there is this magnificent coming together of two women. And in the midst of it, there's the rendezvous with the recognition, first of all, that Jesus, the mother of Mary's womb, is our Lord, and she's the mother of our Lord. And John the Baptist recognizes, leaps for joy. Two women come to understand and receive confirmation of what the angel has said to them. Recognition, reinforcement. And God does that for us. And we need that in our life. You know, I think God is saying to me to do this or that. You go to a good spiritual friend, and they say, yeah, that sounds right. Or, no, I'm not so sure about that. Let God speak. Test everything, but let God speak. Now, there comes then some other, if you will, respectful recognitions that take place in this third stage. Elizabeth says, blessed are you among all women. Mary, you have received a singular grace from God, something that only you will receive to become the mother of my Lord. You're blessed among all women. The fruit of your womb is blessed indeed, for you are now the mother of my Lord. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So Mary is blessed. She's blessed in a singular way. The child in her womb is the Lord, and she's the mother of the Lord, and she's the greatest of believers. Blessed are you who believed what the angel told you, what God told you. Why? Well, again, not just because she believed that, all right, I'm going to conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, but she also believed, go talk to your cousin Elizabeth. It's 60 miles on foot, maybe 70 miles. She made that journey. That's faith. That's the obedience of faith. She went. She's receiving all of this. And so today we've looked at these three stages. I'm going to go to the fourth in a minute, but let's review. Mary received an astonishing disclosure from Gabriel. Mary is not beset by doubts and other types of things that we are because of our sinfulness. She does not have neuroses, but like anyone, even the purest of saints, sometimes it's not always understood by us how everything will fit together. And so the Lord gives her a consolation through Gabriel. Go talk to Elizabeth, your kinswoman, your cousin. She's a wise woman, a strong woman. She'll help you, and you'll help her. And so God pairs them up, as he pairs some of us up. And then finally, we see all these recognitions that come. All these revelations, all these confirmations. But it comes from God, but in a very human way. And there's something beautiful and human about this interaction. And that leads us then to the last stage, rejoicing. I have to tell you that until I entered into kind of African-American settings in my priesthood, I didn't think I ever fully understood this passage, but now I do, experientially. You see, in my tidy-whitey background, we would imagine this thing going like this. Oh, Mary comes in. Oh, Elizabeth, how are you, my dear? Oh, what's going on here? Yes, Elizabeth. Thank you. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Okay. Now, again, I'm not trying to ridicule. I'm just saying that this was a sort of a stuffy, we understood it kind of in a kind of a stuffy, maybe sort of stained glassed kind of way. But that's not what's going on here, y'all. Come on. If you come to this 11 o'clock mass, whatever your cultural background, you know that's not what's going on here. Mary comes in, she goes, Liz! Girl, I haven't seen you for... Mary! Whoa! Sister girl, you don't understand. Whoa! Sister girl, you've got it going on. Someone's in your womb, man. He's got to be the Lord. It's got to be the Lord. Mary says, go on, girl. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. See? And so they're having some church up in there, all right? Okay. Bless God, you see. Now, again, look. Some of us pray quietly and very, you know, others more. It's not about right or wrong, but I just... This has just got to be what I described to you. It wasn't like, oh, thank you, Elizabeth. Pardon the British accent, too, but you get the idea. Are you rejoicing with me? Now, you see, this is, just to review one final time, this is a very important thing. The real joy in our life comes from how God speaks to us in word, in sacrament, in the liturgy, in music, and to each other. And this brings us to a joy and a credibility. This private walk with Jesus, that's not the biblical vision. God says, I'm sending you, brothers and sisters, who will testify to you, and I will speak through them and give you signal graces. I will give you signs and those signal graces that tell you, yes, you're on the right path, or no, you better repent. I don't want you to walk alone. And I will show you such things in the life of the church. I'll give you a crazy pastor. I'll give you some wonderful congregants. And together, you'll form each other. Together, you'll worship. Together, you'll be a community that loves and supports. And I will speak through you to others. And I will speak through others to you. Test everything. But at the end of the day, never neglect the communion that I've called you to, the rendezvous I ask you to make every Sunday and other times of need. So for again, brothers and sisters, this book, the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, Woe to the solitary man if he falls. He has nobody to lift him up. So just make sure you got, don't be solitary. Be in good, strong, seek them, build them, good, strong, spiritual relationships. God will speak to you there. And today we have this beautiful picture of two women, both of whom have had their let's just say, what they just heard really rocked their world. But they have each other, and they help each other. And together, such joy comes even in the midst of that uncertainty. Jesus will be born to us. A week from today will already be past Christmas. But rejoice. Go apart. If you have someone you can talk to them about the mystery that's unfolding. Not just at Bethlehem, but every day in your life as Christ is born into your life through signs and wonders. And speak and teach and assist one another. And say, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Amen.